It is now 1 p.m. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind coming up.
Everybody, Ben Starr here with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. In the studio with me, Kevin O'Donohue.
Hey,
Kevin. I'm so glad we're here. We're back. We're back to our regularly scheduled programming.
Great.
Thanks to all who contributed and participated in our summer fund drive, raising money for WBAI Pacifica Radio right here in New York City. And as we continue, well, we're moving on, Kevin, really. We did a long series where we were topically discussing trauma, the effects of trauma, recovery from trauma, and what that means for people. And, you know, we thought, well, it was a lot of great information, but we thought we'd get into something a little bit lighter. And since
it's August.
Yeah, it's August. It's late August.
Come on.
The city kind of slows down around this time of year, you know? Things come to a bit of a standstill. Sure, there's lots of tourists around, but they're only going to be here for another few weeks. And then things will kind of go back to normal. But everyone notices it, you know. In August, it's harder. You were telling me, Kevin, it's a lot harder to get an appointment to see a therapist in August.
Impossible.
Because so many are away. So many people are on vacation.
August is therapist vacation month.
And there's a real feeling. There's a real feeling just in the city at large that things are slower. Things are less crowded. Things are emptier.
And statistically, the slowest day of the year in New York City is the day before Labor Day.
Is that true?
The Sunday before Labor Day.
I believe it.
Yeah, everybody's away. Everybody's out of town. It's
right.
A great day to take a bowling ball and throw it down Fifth Avenue.
Amazing. So let's talk about that a little bit, though. Vacation. What is the importance of vacation from a psychological perspective? Because it is critically important. We know that. It does have amazing health benefits, actual mental health benefits.
Totally.
But why?
And it increases work productivity because the brain needs to recover, you know, especially if you work in Manhattan, if you work in New York, and if you work more than an eight-hour day. Sometimes commuting is work. So people work a 12-hour day. You know, there is stress for 12 hours a day. And if you have the other 4 hours to vacate the stress that you've accumulated from the day, and that's not enough time. And vacations have been proven to reduce stress and improve creativity.
Well, it's amazing that you said that, Kevin, because we do have a study here. It was done with some researchers.
But I think people know this without a study, but we want to hear the facts.
There were some researchers. It was a team. Some were from a university in Sweden, working in conjunction with researchers out of UCLA and UC Berkeley. And they found that when the number of people on vacation goes up, the number of people, the use of antidepressants goes down.
Hmm.
There's a correlation there. And
say that again.
When the number of people on vacation increases, the use of antidepressants decreases.
So August should be the lowest SSRI month of the year.
If you follow the study, it should.
We can
be devil's advocate here and say, well, maybe that's because people went away and didn't take their meds. But, you know, it's interesting nonetheless to consider that vacation seems to increase people's well-being.
And it's true. I mean, I do see patients who come back from vacation and says, you know, I took myself off my antidepressant about the third day into my vacation. And I'm like, what'd you do that for? You know, but so, you know, people get that sense of not being stressed and under time constraints, and they feel like they can go off their medication. So.
Do you need a vacation, Kevin?
I do. and I'm taking one. But I really, really, really need a vacation.
When's the last time you took one?
I think it's been before Armand died. I think.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I think it was the Christmas before Armand. So it's been 19 months, I think, since I've had a vacation. It was the Christmas week of 2014.
It's been about 17 months for me.
Wow. We need a vacation, Ben.
We do.
And what do you hope for it to do for you?
Well, look, I mean, I understand from some research that I've read that vacation, along with naps, along with meditation, along with something as simple as just taking a walk through the woods, vacation can actually increase our productivity once we return.
Yeah,
it increases our creativity as well. That's why artists will tell you, you know, nothing like a good vacation. And it encourages memory production and memory retention. So if you're feeling forgetful, actually what you might need is a break, whether that break comes in the form of a nap or some meditation or a vacation.
Yeah,
the benefits are real and proven. So we're talking about vacation.
I never knew that. Actually, short-term memory is affected by stress, and by taking a vacation, you can recover your short-term memory.
That's true.
I have definitely been feeling like less connection to my short-term memory. It's like names and locations, directions. You know, I can't hold them in my head. So,
and I want to look at the word vacation, and you touched on it briefly, but vacation, right? And we look at the word vacate.
Wow. Well,
what are we vacating? And let's look at vacation not necessarily in a stereotypical, you know, I'm going to take a plane to somewhere with a beach and, you know, umbrellas on the beach, because that's one type of vacation, and that's not for everyone.
Yeah.
It certainly wouldn't be my ideal, or even something that I would be able to do time-wise or even financially. So what vacation can be many things. I mean, I have friends upstate. For me to drive up there and spend a three-day weekend, that in itself could be a vacation.
Sure.
And that's certainly a decompression from the stress and the pressure of city life.
Right. I think that's a really, really good question, because we often think, and maybe because of childhood, that vacation means going somewhere. So if you go somewhere for 3 days or three overnights, that qualifies as a vacation. Maybe not. You know, to me, vacation means in the short term, dumping my stress, getting rid of my stress. And so usually by the third day, my stress is gone. Okay, now what do I do? And that's when it gets interesting.
Yeah, definitely, Kevin. You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. We'll be taking your calls. We're looking forward to taking your calls today. It's been such a long time since we've been in fundraising mode. We haven't been able to get to listener phone calls. And before that, we had a series of guests that were scheduled well in advance. So today's going to be the first time in a couple months that we'll be able to hear from listeners.
And what a great topic.
And a great topic. And I'd like to hear from listeners, you know, what is vacation to you? And could you think about it this. Do you think you could go on vacation without drinking? Could you go on vacation and not have a drink? Because a lot of us associate maybe drinking with unwinding, with relaxing.
Sure.
Physiologically, it's actually the opposite. But could you do that? Could you go away and not have a drink? I'm sure, I mean, a lot of our listeners, we've heard from people who have many, many years of sobriety. So, you know, they're not drinking either way. But if you do drink, could you go away or go on vacation and not have a drink? And what would that mean for you?
Or how about this? Even before you go away, to imagine your vacation without drinking. And who will you be on the fourth day and the fifth day and the sixth day of your vacation? So it's a really interesting thing to prepare yourself for. It's great to go into a vacation and think of, okay, I'm not going to drink on this vacation. Or how about I'm not going to watch TV, or I'm not going to get on the internet.
What was that? Oh, that's a good one, Kevin. Unplugging. Unplugging from the media matrix.
Yeah.
Unplugging from the TV, unplugging from the internet, from, hey, even the radio, unplugging from cell phones. I think that's a huge part of vacation. Could you go on vacation and leave your cell phone, not bring your cell phone with you?
Yeah. Because you use the word vacate, and it's like you're emptying. And so if you are going to go on a vacation and you want to empty yourself of who you are, what you are, and what you do, and all your stress, what would it be like to empty yourself of your matrix, you call it? Media matrix? Your connection to the media matrix.
Yeah.
You're such a millennial, Ben.
Why do you say that?
I don't know that media matrix.
Well, so we know also from studies that on average, employees, get this, right? They spend more than half of their work days receiving and managing information rather than using it to do their jobs. So what does that mean? That means that in addition to that, so that media matrix, right, that we're talking about involving all kinds of media from television to the internet to cell phones, smartphones, all kinds of connectivity, we are bombarded with information at work.
Yeah.
And the brain has to manage all of that incoming information all at once. And it can be a challenge. And this is certainly a factor when it comes to stress, short and long term.
I think that's why reading novels and buying novels goes up in the month of August, because people want an option, an alternative.
It's an escape.
To information. So you get your beach books or your Kindle with 5 books, which it makes a lot of sense. I mean, if you really want to empty yourself of all this unnecessary, because you're saying this information is unnecessary. It's not being used, right?
Right.
That reading a novel is a great alternative, a way of emptying out the need for information and putting something new in there.
And look, we know that just intuitively, right, that the notion that vacation makes us more productive is actually, it makes perfect sense when you think how we increased productivity, right, when we went to a 5-day work week instead of a 7-day work week or a 6-day work week. People need that time. People need that ability to disconnect, to vacate, to get away, right? It's a very important part of mental health.
Yeah.
and keeping that balance. So we're going to be taking your calls here in a little bit at 212-757-5555.
Want to get your perspective. We haven't heard that number in a while.
212-757-5555. Love to hear your perspective on the topic, on vacation. And wondering if you would be able to go on vacation and leave your cell phone at home or not drink, not have a single drink.
Or how about you get to bring your cell phone, but you only use your cell phone. You don't use it for the internet. You don't use it for music. You don't use it for, you know, because people really need their
cell
phone.
What about texting?
You can't text.
No texting.
Right? No texting. Just to pick up the phone and be connected with people. So see if you can do that. And what else do you need to leave behind if you were to go on vacation? How about the way you are? I mean, people want, Ben, this is the other thing that people want. When they go on vacation, they want to get beyond who they've been. So, you know, we often talk about the Enneagram here. You know, if you're a 2 and you're a giver, practice or try not giving on vacation. You want to rest from giving.
So you're saying go out of what you're used to. Get out of your habits. Is that what you're saying?
Get out of your habits. Yeah, and it's the best way to learn. I mean, if you don't want to smoke anymore, you go on vacation. You don't feel stress. After a few days, the stress goes away.
Well, because all habits, right, all destructive habits are ingrained in a sort of daily routine or ritual that we can break with a vacation, right?
Right. And I think the cigarette is more an attempt to vacate the stress. It's a way of dumping the stress. And so when you go on vacation, when you don't have the stress, you don't have the triggers, the need to have your cigarette, it's a great place to say, do I really want cigarettes in my life? And, you know, people often come back from a vacation and say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to watch TV when I come home from work. I don't want to smoke anymore. I don't want to do this on the weekends. I want to use my time more creatively, et cetera. It's great. It's fantastic. And then 3, 4, 5 days in, the stress builds and people find themselves back with their cigarette.
Let's take a call, Kevin. We have Chris on the line, and she's got a different perspective on vacation and how she uses it.
Terrific.
Hello, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was interested in this topic because I'm a person that doesn't take long vacations now. I still work full-time. But years ago, I got in the habit of taking mini vacations to keep the stress down I worked in corporate America for many years, and I would just take a little break where I would take mini vacations. It might have been going to a lake. It might have been going to a bridge to watch the people fishing. It might have been eating out in somewhere where I hadn't been. It was always something new. I would never go to some place that I was too familiar with. And so it was a quick little getaway that was a great stress reliever in the day and something that I looked forward to.
So would you do that during the workday?
Usually right after the workday or during the workday. I often had time free during the day because I was on the road with my work. I was a sales representative across the state of Florida. And so I would seek out unknown places and meet people that I didn't know. And it was something I so look forward to. You know how you look forward to a vacation? Oh, we're going on vacation.
Right.
But I did that every day, and I still do it. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful stress reliever.
You know, it brings to mind an Albert Einstein quote that Kevin gave me recently. What was that, Kevin?
There are two ways to live. One is to believe that there are no miracles, and the other is to believe there is nothing but miracles.
Uh-huh. That is so true.
So you got yourself a piece of...
And you can do these mini vacations any time. It could be in the morning. It could be over lunch.
Give us a few more specific ones, Chris, that we can do.
I love going to lakes. I love going to new places for brunch, for breakfast, for lunch or dinner. And I always meet people there. I talk to strangers and very often ask somebody to join me because I'm eating alone.
Good for you.
I eat at counters because it's a better way to talk with other people than sitting alone,
social.
Especially if you're on the road with your work or so. Many people eat alone every meal, and I found that eating with people who also were alone, very often they accepted my invitation to sit down, and I would meet new people and make new friends.
Bridges
are wonderful where people are fishing. You can't believe the interesting conversations you can have with people who are on the bridge for the day fishing.
Fantastic.
Some of them aren't working full time. Some of them are taking breaks too. Out in the woods, the parks, the reserves, places like that. Out here on Long Island, we have quite a few little places like that that you never think of popping into, but you do meet other people who are walking in the middle of the day. It's amazing.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for the call, and I think it's something that we can all sort of incorporate into our day-to-day.
And she's saying you don't have to spend a lot of money.
No, you don't need a lot of money, and you don't need a lot of time. And it's something you can do daily. You don't have to wait for September for your vacation or next June. You can do it every day if you really plan it.
Well, thank you so much, Chris, and we appreciate your contribution today, and thanks
you're
for
welcome.
Tuning in.
You're welcome. Thanks. I love BAI. I've been a long-time listener.
Thank you, Chris.
You're doing a great job with Armand's show, too.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Take
bye-bye
care.
Now.
212-757-5555. So that's one way to do it. That's one way. Instead of waiting for the long block of vacation days or vacation weeks, is to just take every day, take the opportunity to do something a little different. And we talked about habit and we talked about routine. And ultimately, I think, Kevin, that's what it comes down to, is it's about breaking the routine and the habit and the mundane nature of our day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
Because once you get into a almost a rote schedule where everything is kind of mechanical, if you do that long enough, it kind of takes a part of you away. Takes that open part of us away. And I think what Chris is suggesting is that we make room to have the unpredictable, to have the spontaneous
and
in
the
our
new,
day-to-day
and
lives.
The new.
Yeah.
I love that idea about sitting at a counter to have lunch or dinner, to be with people and actually take a risk and actually ask them, how are you? Who are you? My name is Chris. What do you do? It's a great way to subtly de-stress and experience something new. Experience another person, something new in your life. And I think that is a big part of vacation. You know, kids go on vacation and they say, what do they need a vacation from? What do kids need a vacation from? But they go on vacation and for them it's all new, trying to have a new activity.
Let's take another call. We have Benjamin on the line in New York. Hello, Benjamin. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Hey, Benjamin.
What's your take on the vacation topic?
Good.
My thing with vacations, like I was saying, it's a, you know, it's very important for us to do. You know, we don't do it, you know, enough. You know, it's always work, work, work. We never take a time to breathe. And it's something that we need to do because, again, it's like, it's kind of like the Matrix, right? You have to unplug from that Matrix, like you're saying. And if you don't, you just get trapped in it, right?
Yeah.
So you have to unplug and kind of reset yourself and find yourself, too, when you're on vacation.
How do you do it, Benjamin? How do you do it?
Well, you know, a lot of times I'm very spontaneous. If I feel like going somewhere, I just do it, right? I'll take time off from work and just go. And sometimes I'll do it by myself. And again, like the last caller said, when you do things on your own, you're out of your comfort zone. But at the same time, you learn new things about yourself. You may meet someone new. They may teach you something. You know, we have to, you know, connect that way in the sense of just, you know, let the universe, you know, do its work on us, basically.
Instead
of staying in our routine.
I love that. And I like what you said about going out of our comfort zone. I mean, sometimes it can be as simple as something like taking a different way home. When we get used to taking that same trajectory between work and home or school and home, and maybe one day, you know, you walk down a different street or you take a, you know, get off the subway a stop early and walk the rest of the way. So, Benjamin, thanks so much for the call and for tuning in.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
All right.
212-757-5555 is the number to call. We're talking about vacations and different perspectives on vacation and how you do it.
How do you do it, Ben?
How do I do it? It's been a while. Yeah. And I have to say, in contrast to Chris, our first caller, I definitely don't do that enough, the sort of mini day-to-day vacation that she's talking about. I save time and I save money over a long period of time. And then I'll go away for like 10 days, you know. And so and as a result, you know, it's been almost 2 years since I've been away. So
right.
That's how I do it.
Right. So that's a good point. I mean, you could find yourself a little vacation here in the city, even though you can't get away this year. You could be doing things now to give yourself a vacation and to sort of dump your stress. I think it's about being conscious and being deliberate and taking time. How do I want to do things different today? How, you know, it's almost like, how do I take care of my mental health today? I have to go down a different street this week. I have to maybe get off the subway a stop before my stop and see what's there. Or take the subway somewhere you've never been and see all the new things there. I think Chris was saying that you really don't have to spend a lot of money. You can just get on the subway and go somewhere else.
That's true.
You know? That's true. I mean, so I think it's about being conscious and deliberate.
It's about breaking with routine and, as Benjamin said, getting out of that comfort zone, you know?
Right.
It doesn't necessarily, a vacation, I don't think, necessarily has to be going down and plopping down on a beach and just doing nothing for a few days.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right. That's, you know, that's often what people say. I mean, frankly, that's what I'm ready for. But, you know, I know that after a couple of days of that, I'm going to want to do something.
Right.
And I'm going to want to see something new and be in touch with something different. So
we have another caller on the line. We have Stanley calling in. Hi, Stanley.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. This is such an amazing topic. I looked at Michael Moore's new documentary. And the name of it is Who to Invade Next.
Right.
Well, he interviews manufacturers all over Europe. And he talks about how they give automatically their workers 5 to 8 weeks vacation per year.
Yes, they do.
When moms have babies, they are required to take, I think, 5 weeks at the least with the dad.
Right.
Vacation. If somebody has a problem with depression in Italy, they can take another 3 to 4 weeks to go someplace to alleviate that depression.
Yeah.
Automatically. They get 2 hours lunch in Italy. Automatically.
Right. And Spain, too.
And Spain and other countries.
Yeah.
So Michael Moore said, wouldn't that be much more productive? He spoke to the company, the head of Ducati Motorcycles. They're gorgeous motorcycles.
Yes,
oh, they are.
And expensive.
Yes. And he was standing at the manufacturer line, you know, where they just put parts together. and there was nothing moving on the line there. And he said to the owner, "There's nothing moving. Everybody's working on a motorcycle, but nobody's moving to the next station." So the owner said, "Well, they're not finished." And so Michael Moore said, "Wouldn't you make more money if you had this, you know, much more effective, quicker line of production?" And, right. and the owner said, "What's more money when it's much better to have a relationship with healthy workers?" Can you imagine this?
Yeah. It's not fair, right? It's just not fair the way we have it set up here. But, you know, how do you get a vacation, Stanley? I mean,
I was a school teacher for 38 years in Hoboken.
Okay.
And 10 of those years I was a counselor of drug and alcohol prevention education.
Oh, terrific.
And in the school system, we get the whole summer off. Let me tell you what that does. It creates a new person by the time September comes.
Yeah, you know that experience, right?
Yes, because when you close your books in June or whatever day is the last day of school, no one is depending on you. No, you know you're not going to get a phone call. You're not going to say your numbers are going down. Nobody's going to say your numbers are going down. You better, you know, call in. The boss wants to talk
to
you.
Sure.
You are truly away from everything, and you can have time to evaluate your last year's successes or failures. And when September comes, you're totally renewed, like you're going into a new job.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I was a teacher myself for 5 years, so I know when you go off. But, you know, I taught English, so I was studying all over the summers there. But I do know what you mean, and I would go back by come September the first week. I'd have all these creative and exciting new opportunities and new ideas to bring to the classroom. And it felt great for 3 weeks. And then I'd be back in the stress of this anxiety. You know what I mean?
I think if you felt that this job was mostly anxiety, 3 weeks would be about right.
Right.
I didn't feel that my teaching was creating a lifestyle of anxiety for me. I had moments.
Good for you.
As we all do, because, you know, working with humans, little humans, is difficult, and it became more difficult as time went on.
Right.
But I got up every day with a joy, with an outlook of what can I do today to make a difference.
Well,
and I had all these artistic ideas and you know, teaching more than just the curriculum, teaching about life, and happy to do that.
Exactly.
But I think part of the anxiety is people are doing what they don't want to do.
Right.
It's a good point, Stanley. And we are coming up against the break. I want to thank you for your call and for tuning in and for your contribution today.
Thank you. Have a great day,
and
guys.
You too.
Thank you very much. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. Talking about vacation and what it means to you. Could you go on vacation without your cell phone? Do you think you'd be capable of doing that? And could you go on vacation without drinking? That's another question. Stanley pointed out the discrepancy between the vacation days that we get here versus in some other countries. And, you know, it's true. We're 21st out of 21 developed countries in terms of how many vacation days our workers are getting. And, for example, I mean, to use the leader, the global vacation leader, right? France.
Really?
France is 30 required vacation days per year. 30.
Required they have to take them.
Right. Well, required that you have to get 30 paid vacation days
per
year.
Okay.
And just to compare, the average people tend to get 4 weeks of vacation here after they've put in 25 years of service to an organization.
25.
That's when you get 28 days, is after 25 years of service. On average, you know, a worker who's been somewhere for between 1 and 10 years is getting 9 days a year.
Wow.
Which is, you know, when you think about it,
1.5 weeks.
Less than a day a month, right? On average.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's definitely something to consider whether we should emulate other countries or not. And you know, we'll leave that to the more political shows, more economically minded shows. But we're looking at it from the perspective of the heart and the mind and our mental health. So this is The Positive Mind. I'm Ben Starr, joined, of course, by Kevin O'Donohue of the Positive Mind Center here in Manhattan. I want to thank you all for tuning in. And, of course, thanks to those of you who contributed during our summer fun drive. I know it's been a long haul, but now we get to have a little vacation from fundraising, and that's always nice too, isn't it?
It sure is. Drop that stress.
Let's take a musical break. We'll be back after this. We're taking your calls at 212-757-5555. That's 212-757-5555.
A groove slightly transformed, just a bit of a break from the norm, just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix, and if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past, adjust the bass and let the alpine blast. Pop in my CD and let me run a rhyme, and put your car on cruise and lay back, cause it's summertime. Sort of a buzz, but back then I didn't really know what it was. But now I see what happened is the way that people respond to summer madness. The weather is hot and girls are dressing less and checking out the fellas to tell them who's best. Riding around in your Jeep or your Benzos, or in your Nissan sitting on Lorenzo's. Back in Philly we be out in the park, a place called the Plateau is where everybody go. Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise, honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turned around to see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac, and with a pen and pad I compose this rhyme to hip you and to get you equipped for the summertime. Yet hustle to the mall to get me a short set. Yeah, I got on sneaks, but I need a new pair, cause basketball courts in the summer got girls there. The temperature's about 88. Hop in the water plug just for old time's sake. Break to your crib, change your clothes once more, cause you're invited to a barbecue to start at 4. Sitting with your friends as y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kiss. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark off nostalgia. All the kids playing out front, little boys messing around with the girls playing double dutch, while the DJ spinning a tune as the old folks dance at your family reunion. Then 6 o'clock rolls around, you just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime hangout. It looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine, fresh from the barbershop, applied from the beauty salon. Every moment frontin' and maxin', chillin' in the car, they spend all day waxin', leanin' to the side, but you can't speed through 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.
DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, Summertime, here on 99.5 FM WBAI. You are tuned into The Positive Mind. We're back after a long month of fundraising, our summer fund drive. Again, can't thank you enough if you did contribute. And thank you for tuning in, for sticking with us through these times. And thanks for all your phone calls. We have another caller on the line, Dave. Dave, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
We're good. So what's your take?
Yeah, so as I was chatting with you a little earlier, just the whole talk of other countries and kind of the grind we have here in America, it made me think about when I was a public school teacher. I'd gotten in through the Teaching Fellows program, and after about 5 or 6 years, I was like, I need a break from this. And a lot of people in my life, my mom and other people, were like, this is the wrong thing to do. You know, you put in 14 more years, you got the retirement package, you're golden, like, stick with it. And actually, for a time, I listened, but then I'm so glad that I ended up going with my gut, and I took 7 months off. I relocated. I feel like if I had stayed, you know, like believing that just hold on so you get this,
yeah,
I would have missed out on that whole time that I was holding on for.
Nice, good. That's a courageous thing to do. I had the same dilemma. People were telling me, "Oh, the benefits are great. You get the summers off. You have Christmas. You have Easter. You have winter break." People don't know the stress that public school teachers go through, do they?
I never thought of it. I guess unless you've been a public school teacher, I guess not.
Yeah. What did you teach?
I started out teaching high school math, and I got my special education license thereafter. Oh. So both of those.
Yeah, so I think we probably share a similar experience. I know that in my last year of teaching, I physically put my feet on the floor one day, and I said, I don't think I can do this next year. did you feel it physically in your body, like, I might not be able to do this next year?
Well, to be honest, I had a... So for the first 2 years, I almost felt, well, on and off, for the first 7 months and the first 3 months of the second year, 7 months of the first year, 3 months of the second year, I felt like I almost wanted to quit almost every day.
Okay.
And I actually held on for those 2 years because I knew it would be wrong to just quit in the middle.
Yeah.
Like, not just wrong morally, but it's like, I'm backing on the kids. I remember hearing that the principal ended up taking the previous year's math teacher over for him because someone just left mid-year, and I was like, I don't want to do that to the kids, you know? But after
exactly,
I learned how to do it, and I wasn't, like, you know, jumping out, at, like, just like, get me out of here. But when I settled into it, like I said, it was 5.5 years, and I saw this strategy. I saw I could exit. There was someone coming in that could take my place. I was even coaching volleyball, and this same guy was a great volleyball player. And so he could, everything, all my responsibilities could be taken care of.
Right,
and
right.
I just felt like I was done. I felt like I learned it. I grew because of it. And now I could exit without, you know, hurting anyone. In fact, everything would go on as usual, and it would be better for me.
It is one of those professions where you do worry about not so much your employer, but your kids, the students.
Yeah.
So how do you vacation now? I mean, you've seen the dragon teaching, and how do you enjoy your life now? How do you get vacations now? What do you need vacations from now?
Well, you know, now, so since that time I've gotten married and I have two kids, so now, I mean, it's a whole other conversation, because now it's, vacation is really about, you know, like, getting time where my wife and I are both not working and the kids are out of school and we're spending time together as a family. That's probably the number one priority now.
I see. And when you come back from vacation, you have kids, but when you come back from your vacation, do you feel like you got a vacation?
You know, I feel like when I come back from vacation that my wife and I have gotten a little bit closer.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, my old definition of vacation might have been, I think, was different when I was single. You know, it's like, relax, it's have fun, whatever it is.
Sure.
But now, I mean, in a sense, what I'm doing by bonding with my wife and kids is I'm spreading out that relaxation and enjoyment, I think, forward, you know, where I'm like, you know, spending this quality time that's going to just make for a better family life for all of us.
Yeah.
Going forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Your priorities change. It makes a lot of sense. It must feel good when you feel a little closer to your wife.
Yeah, it really does.
So look, Dave, thanks for calling. This is a different take on vacations, and we really appreciate it. Thanks for your
contribution.
Have a good
God
one.
Bless.
Call us
you
again.
Too. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Thanks.
212-757-5555. We've heard from Dave before. He's been a caller before.
He's great.
I remember him.
Yeah.
And it's always good hearing from
and
those
And we have
callers.
To put a plug out to the public high school teachers and general public teachers and teachers throughout the country. I mean, it's we have to give time for them to
My grandmother was
tell
a public
us their
school
experience.
Teacher.
Because it's we don't know what that experience is like, really. We think we do because we were students once. But you don't know it unless you've done it.
And as a student, you always think, I would be the coolest teacher.
Right.
Just like you think, you know, I would never make the mistakes that my parents made raising me.
Right. And then you think when you become a teacher that those teachers that try to be cool, that's the worst way to run a classroom.
To try to befriend the students?
Yeah, and be cool. You know, it just gets old very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot. We'll do a show on teachers, I think. They deserve it. I mean,
yeah.
It's yeah. Stresses come from all directions when you're a teacher. So anyway.
You mentioned that you hadn't taken a vacation in 19 months, Kevin.
No.
Where was that to?
It's true. I was in Ohio, and it was snowing, and it was wonderful. It was a great way. See, that's one of the things. If I go a long time without a vacation, I want to go to a place where something different's going to happen. I mean, you know, if it's every 6 months I get a vacation, I don't necessarily need to have something dramatic different. But if it's 19 months, I want a big change. So for me, going to the mountains would be a big change. Getting out on a fishing boat is a big change. I need those experiences when I haven't had a vacation for over a year. If it's 6 months, I don't so much need the mountains. I might need something different, a different activity or something. I remember I once rode a horse. I went on vacation and I rode a horse totally unexpectedly. And it was the highlight of my 10-day vacation because it was something I've never done before. So, you know, when the longer I get from taking a vacation, when I actually get to it, it has to be something different. So when I say I went to Cleveland and went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and it was snowing out and it was a beautiful winter scene, So I try to get something different. So this time I'm going to go out on a fishing boat. I'm going to get that in. To me, every time I go to the ocean, whether it's 6 months or 19 months, I can dump my stress and be rejuvenated.
Let's take another call. We have sure. Emmanuel calling in. Thanks for the call, Emmanuel.
Okay, thank you.
Hey,
yes, I have a different take on the whole vacation thing. Like I was saying earlier, I don't take them because I can't afford to.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of the whole vacation stress thing that I think you were referring to earlier on.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of xenophobic stress that's going on in terms of some of the places that people used to visit to go on vacation outside of Europe. Even in Europe,
yeah.
Now people are thinking, well, you know, if I go to France or if I go to Germany, if
yeah,
I go
sure.
there, if I go here, I'm going to, you know, am I going to come back?
You're right.
So, I mean,
right.
people are really afraid now to even go outside of their, you know, own communities, not
yes.
because
yes.
of just, you know, this threat, this unseen threat, but also economically, I think that vacation is you know, the traditional vacations are stressful.
But, you know, Emmanuel, you can't let them win. You know,
well, it's not a them. Mm. I think it's easy to say that,
yeah.
but people really don't address those issues. It's kind of like you can't let them win, but at the same time, those stresses are still there affecting you. You know, you don't want to say that I'm not going to go, but you got kids and you have people around you who are might be expressing that or don't know how to express that.
True.
You know what I mean?
Very
so,
true.
I mean, there are all kind of hidden things that are going on now, politically as well as socially, that's preventing us from going on the types of vacations that we used to think about going where, you know, we used to think about going, you know, outside of Disney World.
So tell us about you. I mean, given these conditions, I mean, what is it you do? How do you, have money constraints.
And so because I work for myself, I pretty much have a vacation. I'm able to de-stress.
Wonderful.
When I want to de-stress, I'm pretty much, I consider myself lucky because I work outside of the, you know, I'm a street vendor, so I work outside of the norm.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
You
and
can
so
make
when
your own
on
hour.
Rainy days or
you can
days when it's
hour.
Too hot, I don't go outside.
Right.
And
right.
my vacation to me is silence. Being at home and not having the television on, not having, outside of the radio,
fantastic.
Not having any electronics on, and reading a book
fantastic.
In my house.
I absolutely agree with you. I mean, you can get a vacation just by turning off everything around you and sitting quietly in a room. right?
Yes. That's what I think is the point, because why go on a vacation when you have these expectations of de-stressing and it's more stressful to even go?
Exactly.
If you don't understand why you're going on the vacation in the first place.
It's a great point, Emmanuel, and I appreciate the call, totally, and I want to thank you for your contribution today.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Emmanuel.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. 212-757-5555. It's a good point, Kevin. Look, I mean, vacations are expensive, and they can be expensive. And that's what I was saying earlier about, you know, maybe we need to rethink what vacation is. And it doesn't necessarily have to be going to the airport, getting on a plane, and going to a resort somewhere or a hotel somewhere. You know, maybe it is, like Chris said earlier on, maybe it can be a daily thing, right? Just a visit to a different park that you've never been to.
Yeah.
Or a drive upstate, you know, just an hour upstate out of the city. Everything is completely different.
Totally.
So it's a good point.
Staycation is a new word.
I've heard that one, too. I have heard that one.
You know, and I like it. Stay in your room. Stay in your home. Stay where you are.
Absolutely.
Stay quiet.
Let's see how many more calls we can get. It's really refreshing
to hear
listeners calling in, because we haven't been able to do that because of the fun drive. We don't do that during the fun drive. And because we had some guests before the fun drive that you may have heard here on The Positive Mind, and we don't always do phone calls with guests. So it's really one of my favorite parts of this show is the interaction that we get to have with our listeners. And I want to thank everyone who's called in so far and invite you to call in if you want to weigh in. The number is 212-757-5555. That's 212-757-5555. So, Kevin, you're right about to go on a vacation yourself, right?
Yes, I am. Well, yes, kind of. Yeah. It's not my fishing boat vacation yet. That's going to be in the second week in September. But, yeah, it's a getaway. It's a break. I think I'm going to use Chris's idea of going to a lunch counter and talking to strangers, talking to people I don't know. Actually taking a step towards other people and see what happens. This is like, you know, a great way to, you know, bend my mind a little bit and maybe get something new happening. So even though it's not going to be the big vacation, which is coming up, it's a break. And it's up to me, I guess, to make new things happen. And I like Chris's idea. I also like Emmanuel's idea. You know, I'm going with my partner, and I'm going to say, what do you say we try not to talk for, you know, 6 hours? I can do it. I wonder if she can.
There's something about a car ride, just a long car ride.
Yeah.
Especially through some more empty places, you know?
Yeah. As a kid, remember those car rides with your parents?
Yeah.
And all your siblings or however many you had. But remember. Now kids are in their cars with their with their electronics, you know, playing Pokemon or doing something. I remember looking out the window as a kid and seeing, you know, horses and seeing grass.
Did you play the license plate game?
Yeah.
You know, how many different states can you count? And then whoever spots it first gets a point.
Right.
Right? So everyone's looking for the elusive Wyoming plate, which you never see because Wyoming's far away and tiny. In population, you know.
And the songs. Remember singing in the car?
Yeah.
You know, what were the
99 bottles of beer on the wall?
Right.
I don't know who decided that was a children's song.
Did you get bathroom breaks on your car rides? We weren't allowed them.
No?
You know, no water drinking 2 hours before the car ride. You weren't allowed to. There was no pulling over for bathroom breaks. But anyway, yeah, the music and the songs. And you're right, a car ride. So I'll tell my partner no talking. We'll just point out license plates.
It's quite a drive, right, that you're about to take?
8 hours.
8 hours.
Yeah.
It's not so bad.
So, yeah.
That's like one break, right? Leave in the morning, drive till lunch, break for lunch, and then finish the drive.
Yeah. And so the lunch break is nice because you're in a totally outside New York in a Dutch country in Pennsylvania, and you see how they work. I mean, I do like to go into restaurants and other towns, other cities, other places, more towns than cities, and just look at the people and look at what they do and look at the decorations and look at the artwork.
I've driven out there before. I had a friend who moved to Pittsburgh for work. He got
the drive.
Yeah, he got a job out in Pittsburgh, and I drove out there to visit. And it is incredibly scenic.
Yeah, it's nice in the wintertime. It's more in the wintertime with the snow on the hills.
Mm.
But, yeah, so it's...
What's the furthest you've ever driven?
I drove cross-country for 38 days. I went to all the way to Seattle, all the way cross-country, down to, you know, Baja, and then over to New Orleans, and
wow,
then back up, and it was...
The Great American Road Trip.
Yeah, and it was great. It was on motorcycle, actually. And
wow.
You didn't have to wear a helmet.
Kevin,
who knew? You didn't have to wear a helmet back then.
Who knew Kevin was such a rebel?
And, you know, you put the earphones in and you listen to the Rolling Stones as you're going down I-90.
Look at you. Did you have a beard, too?
When I came back. Ben, we can't talk about this. But anyway, I did feel, you know, that's, I'd have to say, I felt like a different person when I came back from that trip.
Well,
I felt like my voice changed.
Your perspective changes.
Yeah,
when you go away and you see a new place, you know, you're coming back to the same place, but really your perspective has shifted so that you're now viewing it, you're experiencing it through the lens of your earlier experience outside.
Yeah. It could be true. I mean, I felt expansive, but I was going to say I felt like I had a different voice. I spoke differently when I came back.
Really?
And maybe it was just the constant newness. Every day was new. Every vista was new. We were always on the move. I like to move. I'm a kinesthetic person. So being on a motorcycle and seeing everything and then getting in, pulling into a hotel and then going out the next morning, going to another place. And so I think just the chronic, constant newness made me feel like a new person, different person when I got back.
My longest drive, Kevin, was to St. Louis.
Okay.
I left New York late at night and drove out to St. Louis, not in one shot, but you know, I think I stayed in a motel in Hagerstown, Maryland, because I didn't want to stop until I made it over the border of Pennsylvania, because it kind of felt like a challenge, you know?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And so I slept in Hagerstown, Maryland, and the next day drove through West Virginia, Kentucky on the interstate, and then stayed in Lexington, Kentucky that night, and then the bluegrass. I mean, they call it the bluegrass state, but it really is blue. It's unbelievable. It's beautiful.
Really?
And, you know, I'd never been to Kentucky, never really knew much about Kentucky, and it was really a beautiful, beautiful landscape to pass through.
We have a beautiful country for that.
And, then the last day, woke up in Lexington, drove west through the rest of Kentucky, through Louisville, through Indiana, through southern Illinois, and then St. Louis.
Man.
That was one heck of a trip.
You're making me think of that great book, Blue Highways, by William Least Heat Moon, where he took a van and drove cross-country, and he rode on the blue highways on the maps, not the red ones. The red ones are the interstates. The blue ones are off the interstates.
Right.
You really see the hills. You really see the nature. You really see how people live.
Well, unfortunately, the interstate system, while it was, you know, enabled a lot of commerce and shipping, it did have kind of a rough effect on many local communities that had been built around certain roads, like Route 66.
Yeah.
Which is a famous one.
Sure, that's still there.
It's still there, but it used to be booming along Route 66, and now it's not.
Yeah.
And that's largely in part to all the interstates that sprung up around it.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, and it tells you something. You can make a movie around a road. I think there's a movie called Route 66, or a movie was made around that road, that journey. And who would make a movie about interstate travel? You know, it's not going to happen. So I think it's a good point. You know, when you think about vacations, you think about the exotic and the different. And with the interstate, everything is monochromatic. It's always predictable and always the same. It's the same in California as it is in New York. But if you go on the blue highways or the back roads, like a Route 66, you know, you're in a different new environment. It's exotic and it can do something to you.
Definitely. Well, one of those around here that interests me is 25A, Northern Boulevard. Goes from the Queensboro Bridge all the way out to Wine Country on the North Fork of Long Island.
Right.
It passes through completely different neighborhoods and completely different landscapes.
Sure.
Very interesting road.
Interesting.
Anyway, Kevin, we're just about out of time.
No, we need more time for vacation.
Well, we'll be back tomorrow. We can talk about it some more then.
Yeah.
But we want to thank everyone who called in today for all your different perspectives and opinions. want to thank everyone who contributed during the fun drive, and we'll be back right here tomorrow at 1 p.m. Take care.
Write it. Thank you.